Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? How many of y'all glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that a good thing that you can be saved in New York, too?
Amen.
I don't know about that. I'm still amazed. I don't know what a Texas boy is doing up here in New York. Amen. But I enjoy coming up here and enjoy getting to spend time with your pastor and his family, and just thankful for the opportunity. All right, take your Bible this morning. Let's get right into it. Mark chapter 16. The pastor has, asked me to come so that we can, over the next, start tonight, but go through Wednesday night doing soul winning training. And I want to just start off this morning, and if I could, try to get our minds set towards the call, if you will, of soul winning by the Savior. Mark chapter 16, if you would, some familiar verses here. Mark chapter 16, I'm going to start reading in verse 14. If you have that, wave at me, say amen, do something, let me know you got it. You got it? All right. If you have a Bible, it'll say this: afterward, he appeared unto the 11, talking about Jesus, of course, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and the hardness of heart. Now, that word upbraided is this. It means to find fault with someone, to scold severely. Now, I want you to get this. Here's the Lord. He's been crucified, resurrected. It's during this, we read in Acts chapter 1 about the 40 days that he has been from time to time with the apostles, and we find him here. The apostles are together, and they have really, the ones that have said, okay, we've seen the Savior, and he's risen again. Their hearts were hard towards it. I mean, look at it again. Let's read the whole verse afterward. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, now notice this, the backslidden crowd he's talking to. I mean, it's a crowd. The Bible's clear. They're hard of heart. They're the backslidden crowd. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So here we have, if you will, one of the five times that Jesus gives his church what we call the Great Commission. Previously, if we went back to Matthew chapter 10, the apostles had been told to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's while Jesus was here during his personal ministry. He had instructed the apostles, just go the folks of Israel. But after his resurrection, folks, he makes it abundantly clear what the plan was, that we were to get the gospel to every creature now. That by the way, it's always been the heart of God for folks to come to Christ. Amen. Whether we're looking forward to the cross or we're looking back, it's always been God's plan for man to be saved through that Messiah that was to come or that has come. And so understand, the Lord makes it abundantly clear. And he did this. Go back to Luke chapter 19. You're right there at Luke, but go back to chapter 19. And again, a familiar verse here. He makes it clear in this verse why he came. What was the purpose for Jesus coming to earth? Well, it says here, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his whole purpose. Hey, man, I think most of us have figured this out. God's in love with us. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that he loves us? I mean, all the different songs we could sing, no doubt, John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. You see it even amongst heathen. Man, used to, I guess, I've not watched football in a while, but man, used to be at football games. Somebody would always hold up a sign, John 3:16. And so, the truth is the Lord's in love with us. And that's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, take your Bible, turn back to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, he passes that purpose on to the church. Matthew chapter 4, look in verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let me take a time out here for a second. He has just returned from the temptation after his baptism. He returns from the temptation in the wilderness and he begins his personal ministry. All right? And here, I believe personally, this is where he starts the church. I believe Jesus started the church during his personal ministry because of this. Several things. First, doesn't make sense that anybody else would start it. And secondly, folks, he died for the church. The Bible's clear. He shed his blood for the church. And so I believe, though, he passes that purpose on now to the church. Look at it, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and y'all help me out. What does the rest to say? I'll make you fishers of men. Now understand, he's not calling these guys to salvation. If he's calling them to salvation, that's work salvation. He is not calling these men to salvation. What he's doing is saying this, hey, I've got a purpose for a church, and this is it. It's to make fishers of men. Understand, folks, listen, that's why Emmanuel Baptist is here. See, it's not only to win folks, but it's to make disciples. And the greatest thing you could teach any disciple is how to be a fisher of men, how to go after the lost. And can I be honest with you? I'd say this, in this last days that we're in these last hours, we're losing that purpose. We're losing it. I mean, we got folks that they come to church. They're happy to sit in a pew and to listen to the preaching and to maybe sing the songs of Zion. They'll even give tithes and offerings. But when it comes to going soul winning, man, that's a whole different ball game. I can do all the rest, preacher. But that's not me. Wait just a minute right there. I mean, I've heard this. Well, I just don't have that gift. Well, we're going to confront that in just a second. But see, that we use all kind of excuses. And now, I'm going to be pretty pointed. If y'all get mad at me, you just get mad at your pastor. He's the one let me come. Amen? So y'all say amen right there. Y'all promise not to throw stuff at me. Amen? That's all right. So this the thing. Understand. If being a fisher of men is the most important thing, why isn't that the biggest service that we have every week? Why isn't that the most well-attended service? Say amen right there, owe me one. Honest to goodness, here Jesus says plainly to the apostles, you follow me, and maybe you'll be a fisher of men. Is that what it said? Follow me and hope so. See, now, you forgive me, but don't tell me you're following him and you're not a fisher of men. One of you is not being honest. Amen or oh me. So let me just get really down, rubber down to the road. Now, how many did you talk to this week? And can I say this? We've become real comfortable with doing this. Hey, can I give you an invitation to church or give you a gospel tract? And I'm for that, by the way. Shame on you if you're not doing that. Say amen right there. But we got to get past just passing out tracts. See, that's not what he called us to do. Our job's to talk to him. And you say, well, I'm just not, that's not, well, that's why I gave you the Holy Spirit for boldness. See, we got too many Christians not living Spirit-filled Christian lives. And thus, we're not the soul winners we ought to be. And again, I'm going to say it, and I know it kind of wrinkles your brow a little bit, but don't tell me you're following him and you're not a soul winner. You're not being honest with yourself. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So understand, that is our job today. That's the most important job that we have been given. Y'all say amen right there. So I want us to do this. I want to just think on a few thoughts to help us focus on our job. And I want to use it as this. Folks, if you have not been winning souls, this is an excellent time to learn how. And an excellent time. Pastor has asked me to come specifically for that reason. And I promise, the teaching will be a help to you. And I'll say this more than one time. Number one reason people do not go soul winning or don't talk to others. Number one reason, fear. Fear. Most of the time it's fear because they've never been taught how. We've been preached at, you ought to go, and we know we ought to go, but we've never really been taught how. And this week we want to teach you how. Not just teach you that you ought to go, but teach you how to talk to somebody. All right, so let's just take a few thoughts this morning. First, is the Great Commission, is our text here, Mark 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Y'all help me out now. Is that a command or what? Y'all help me out. Huh? It's a command. Now, y'all help me here. When the very moment you got saved, How many of you realize you were drafted? Amen. See, we even teach the little kids that in junior church and stuff. How many of y'all know this song? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. How many of y'all have heard that before? We teach that to the kids, don't we? And we teach that, and we don't even apply it to ourselves. We say, yeah, that's for the kids. That's a little kid song. No, you're in an army. He's chosen you, and he said, endure hardness as good soldiers. He said this, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. See, that's the orders we're under. This is a command. And I don't know about you. How many of y'all understand there's a judgment seat of Christ? Amen. We're not going to be judged for sin. Amen. That was taken care of on the cross. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. But he is going to want to know how'd you do once you got saved. What were your motives and what were your works? And see, I don't know about you. I used to work for a man named James Wilkins, and he'd say this every once in a while. He'd say, you're in trouble with the boss. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to stand there at the judgment seat of Christ and be in trouble with the boss. Amen or not? And so, understand, it is a command. So, let me ask you this way then. Is the command literal? Did he really mean what he said? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Come on, 8.5 billion people alive on planet Earth today. Did he really mean we're to reach 8.5 billion people with the gospel? Is that... See, I do. I believe it was literal. Why? Well, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, amen or not. And so this is the thing. If he gives us a command and he says, all right, here's the orders. I want you to reach everybody. Then help me out. Are we really then expected by God to get the gospel to every creature? How many of y'all would say, yeah, I believe that's what he meant. Amen or not? Some of y'all ain't raising your hand. I'm going to back up and hit it again so you get it a little clearer. See, it's not a choice. It's not a if you want to. See, the God of all creation, the God that we were talking about earlier that loves us, the one that I was reading a banner up there, Revelation chapter 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. He's worthy of every bit of it. Amen. He's the one that commanded, you're to be a fisher of men. And you're to get the gospel to every creature. So again, how many of y'all understand that? Raise your hand. Now, if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to back up and hit it again. All right, because I want to make sure it's clear. All right. Now, so let me ask this then. Is the command possible? Is it possible, or is God just this ogre that gave us this command that cannot be fulfilled? See, that doesn't make sense, does it? I'm gonna give you this command. And though I gave it to, you know, really it's, you can't do it. See, that doesn't make a lick of sense. If he gave us the command and his expectation is for the command to be fulfilled, then surely it's possible. It is not an impossible task. So let me ask this. How many of you think it's ever been accomplished somewhere along since the Lord's resurrection and he gave us the command? Somewhere in this last 2,000 years, the command has been accomplished. Some generation got the gospel to every creature. Now, how many of y'all would, now y'all are going to have to raise your hand one way or the other. I'm looking hard, all right? How many of you believe it has been accomplished? Raise your hand, wave at me. We got one, two brave souls, three brave souls. How many say, I don't believe it's ever been accomplished, Brother Scott? All right, so that's the majority. Take your Bible, Colossians 1:23. Now, y'all help me out. How many believe the Bible is full of exaggeration? Anybody believe that? Now, how many believe if it says it in the book, then we can believe it and we can bank on it, amen or not? This old King James Bible is truth, amen or not? All right, so Colossians chapter 1. Now I want you to look down to verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, now hang on, and which was preached to whom? To whom? Which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So y'all help me out. Does the Bible declare here that it's been accomplished during Paul's ministry? Amen or not? How many of y'all see that? Wave at me now, because I want you to see this. See, it has been accomplished. See, God does not allow Paul to make some outlandish statement. Well, we did it, and they really didn't. You say, Brother Scott, how did they accomplish that? I'll be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure, but I know this. I believe this book word for word. I don't believe there's an exaggeration in there. And when Paul was led by the Spirit of God to pen that, he penned truth. The gospel was preached. Now, what's the commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? Every creature. Paul said here that the gospel was preached to whom? See, the problem is not that it's not that it can't be accomplished or that hadn't been accomplished. See, this is the thing. It just needs to be accomplished again. Let's be honest. We don't know how many times it has been accomplished through the years. We know it's been accomplished at least once. And I would believe that it's been accomplished more than that. The problem is, we've bought into Satan's lie. We believe it can't be accomplished. It's too big. It's too complicated. There's no way. Yes, there is a way. See, I believe this. This book right here is just as much a book of methodology as it is a book of theology. Let me explain that. Do you believe that God said, okay, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and good luck on figuring out how to do it? Does that make sense to anybody? Hey, come on. I'm from Texas, amen? Now, I tell folks all the time, I'm a retarded Texan. Y'all say amen right there. Amen. You didn't have to say it so heartily. See, this is the thing. He did not give us a command and then say good luck on figuring out how to do it. See, come on. Would y'all be honest with me? We're a bunch of knuckle-headed, pea-brain nincompoops. Might as well be honest about it. I mean, we're nothing special. And if it was left up to us on how to accomplish it, we're in trouble. But see, it wasn't left up to us. See, he put plans in this book on how to get it accomplished. And the problem is that we're hard-hearted. And we're rebellious. I'm not going. I'd rather let my fear rule my life. Not going to live a spirit-filled life. You say, what? Why you say? Go back to Acts chapter 4. We know what he said in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So we know that's what the Holy Spirit of God is for, to teach us, to guide us, to convict us, and to empower us to witness to folks. Now in Acts chapter 4, look in verse 29, we find here the church is praying together after Peter's been released from prison. And this is what it says. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Excuse me. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So here we have the end of their prayer. As the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Y'all say amen right there. Now look at verse 31, we have an immediate answer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see that? See, much of the problem today is this: we're not spirit-filled Christians. We're indwelt, no doubt. But the indwelling is not the same as the filling. And see, in order for us to be bold to speak to folks, we need the fulfilling. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God that we can speak boldly to people. And not let that fear overcome us. Let's look at this quickly. What's the method? You said, Brother Scott, you said there's a method. Okay, he told us first, he said that follow me and I'll do what? Make you fishers of men. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Preacher, what time does Sunday school end? Okay. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 4. Now here we have the trainers appointed. The trainers are appointed. Look down to verse 11. It says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Time out right here. Those offices are no longer in effect today. Those offices were used pre-New Testament being written, when there was still sign gifts. The Lord needed a way to authenticate the work of God after his crucifixion and resurrection. And during the time that the New Testament is being penned, he used the apostles and prophets and sign gifts to authenticate his work. But though that once that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, the sign gifts, ceased. All right? Amen? 1 Corinthians. All right? So now what we have left is this: evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give those? Well, he says here, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, that we know that's discipleship, amen or not. Now, understand that this is the thing. That perfecting, we talk about that. And we use a couple of words like this, maturing, equipping. But can I give you a definition that one of my teachers gave me? It was this: to bring to a high level of skilled ability. See, that's pastor's job. Sunday school teacher, that's your job. Evangelist, that's your job. What? To bring the saints to a high level of skilled ability. All right? Why? Well, it goes on to say, for the work of the ministry. You know what? Hold on a second. This is how we've looked at this verse in the past. We've said, okay, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, why were they given? To perfect the saints. Their job is to work in perfecting the saints. Their job, secondly, is to do the work of the ministry. Wait just a minute. Y'all help me out. Who all is to be involved in the work of the ministry? Y'all help me. All of us. So what we bought into was kind of a Catholic a version of an understanding of this verse. See, evangelists, pastors, and teachers weren't given for the work of the ministry. Everybody's in the ministry. And so what that did, that misunderstanding did this. It divided us now. We got clergy and laymen. And it's the clergy's to do the work. And the laymen are just, you know, we're just churchgoers. We're the crowd that supports the work. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying these guys are in charge of perfecting, bringing the saints to a high level of skilled ability. Why? For the work of the ministry. See, everybody, if you're saved, wave at me. You're in the ministry. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. You're in the ministry. You got drafted as soon as you got saved. And so understand, pastor's job, my job, other Sunday school teachers' job is to do this, is to bring you to a high level of skilled ability to do the work of the ministry. Why? It says, goes on to say this, for the edification of the body, or the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying is this, it's build up. Build up. So two things. Spiritually, we are to build up one another. Now let me just preach for a second, not that I haven't been, but those of you that are gossips, that are tearing down the people of God, go around criticizing, shame on you. That's not your job. See, your job is to edify one another. It's to encourage. Can I ask you to do this? Everybody without sin, would you raise your hand? I'm looking. See, can I help you this morning? We're all a bunch of idiots. We all do stupid things from time to time. You understand God does not expect perfection from us? If he expected perfection, then why did Jesus come? See, forgive me, remind me of your name again, brother. Brother John's a good man. But you just ask his wife for that. This is your wife, not your girlfriend, right?
That's our anniversary today.
Anniversary. It is his girlfriend again. Amen. Yeah. See, ask her, and she can point out some flaws in Brother John's life. See, and you ask my wife. Please don't ask my wife. See, we're all like that. So if you want to find something to criticize, it's there with every one of us. That's not our job. Our job is, remind me,
Kevin.
What? Well, Brother Kevin, listen, you want to know something? God's in love with you.
Amen.
Man, I heard some good things about you. I saw you over at Brother Dewey's the other night. Man, I appreciate that you'd take time to come over there. That's a blessing. See, that's what we're supposed to do, be an encouragement to one another.
Amen.
And too many times we do, and I get it, we get close to one another, and when you get close, you start seeing flaws. And your pastor is a good man, but he's got flaws. And if you want to find something to criticize, be real easy. But see, that's not our job. It's to love him, to encourage him. But not only spiritually to edify, but build up physically. See, can I help you? It is your job to fill these empty chairs. Say amen right there. That's your job. That's part of your ministry. As a fisher of men, you're to go out, you're to win folks, you're to bring them down the house of God, and we're to then baptize them, disciple. And I get it, not everybody we talk to is going to get saved, not everybody we get saved is going to come to church. Those things, we can't force those things. But it is my job to be working at that, amen or not. So let me ask the question. When's the last time you had somebody at church with you that you won to Christ? What's the problem? It's getting awful quiet. See, this is the problem. We got away from doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen or oh me. Folks, we are supposed to be aggressively fishing for men. Whether it's at the job, whether it's at the grocery store or Walmart, whether it's out on the street preaching, whether it's doing a Bible handout, whether it's going house to house. Those are soul winning tools. Man, people use food banks, the vacation Bible schools, all kind of stuff we use as soul winning tools. But understand, every one of us are to be involved in soul winning. Every one of us. But the truth is, we're not all involved. The truth is, the majority of folks in here right now have never led a soul to Christ. And can I say that ought not to be? Follow me and I will make you fishers. And can I say this? I'm nothing special, but that book you hold in your hand is. And we're going to take some principles this week and show you how to biblically overcome fear so that you can be bold in talking to people. Let me give you a simple illustration. Remember the first day you was on that new job? Remember how nervous you were? I mean, you didn't even know where the time clock was. You wondered where the bathroom was, and man, we get break time or what? You didn't know nothing. I mean, you went in, you don't know the expectations or anything. Man, and there's a certain amount of apprehension and fear. But they had somebody come in and they just kind of took you by the hand, said, all right, now this is what you do. Here's the time clock. Here's how it works. And then here's what we're going to be doing. And now at this time, we'll take a break. Lunchtime is this time. And then they didn't say, now look, there's a room full of machines out there. You go pick you one and get busy. See, they don't do that. See, that's what they do. They take you and they show you how this machine you'll be running. This is what you're going to be doing. And here's how to do it. See, and that's what we're going to do this week. It's not just preach to you ought to go. No. See, the Bible says this in Acts 20:20. have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. See, that was Paul's plan for training the workers that accomplished the goal. What he did, he would sit down and publicly demonstrate how to win a soul to Christ. We're going to do that tonight's service. I'm going to sit down and just simply take a Bible and show you how to go through scriptures and lead folks to Christ. Then on Monday through Wednesday, we're going to take and just give some biblical and practical principles of soul winning. We'll do that for about 30 or 40 minutes, and then we'll pair up and you'll work with a partner on actually sitting there and winning your partner to Christ. Because many times, man, just introducing yourself to somebody is awkward. And can I be honest with you? Unless you got a pride problem or an ego problem, everybody in here is an introvert. We are. We're introverts by nature. Listen, can I be honest with you? I'd rather be the fly on the wall this morning. I'd rather be the guy sitting out there and let somebody else do the talking. But that's not what God called me to. And He's helped me to overcome my fears. Can I be honest with you? You ask my wife, every time I get up to preach, preacher, my palms still get sweaty and I get nervous and butterfly. And I think, man, I don't want to do this. Yet, I want to do it. And see if God can help me to overcome as an introvert. He can help you to overcome. Because let's be honest. See, where did our fear come from? We know it did not come from God. See, the Bible says this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And see, if we take those thoughts and take some other biblical principles, we can overcome that fear. And we can take verses, just simple biblical principles, and show you how to take somebody through the scriptures and lead them to Christ. And you're going to work with a partner in doing that. Now, I'll be honest with you, three times in soul winning training, we've had folks. The last one we did down in Quinlan, Texas, had a man, I mean, he didn't even preach, or he didn't even wait. I'm still teaching. And he gets up, goes, grabs his pastor and heads out. He said, I'm not sure. Whew. See, every one of us ought to be able to take that book and show somebody how to be saved. And do it with boldness and clarity, so that that person understands our objective and what their response needs to be. And we're going to help you with that this week. But can I say this? I can't help you if you don't come. Some of you in your mind, you've already, well, I don't know if I'm going to really come this week. Please don't do that. Please be determined to be here. We're in the last hours. And this world's headed for hell. And I don't know about y'all. I've got to get done. I don't like where our nation is. And can I say it's the Christian's fault that it's where it is? Amen. It's the pulpit's fault. Amen. It's the Christian's fault. And I don't know about you. I want to fight and get some of it back. I'm tired of them telling our boys they ought to be wearing skirts. Yeah. Telling them, hey, it's all right, fella, if you look across the room, see some man and you think, boy, I want to kiss him. That ain't a normal thought. That's defiled. That's ungodly. It's a slap in the face of God. Yet they're telling us that's normal. It's not normal. I don't know about you. I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to finish my course doing right. I want to go down swinging. The best thing I can do is be a fisher of men and help others to be a fisher of men. So I'm pleading with you, please be determined to be here this week. Please be determined to be here. Maybe it'll be a refresher for some, but for some, it'll help you to overcome that fear so that you can be the fisher of men that you ought to be. Father, please take the Sunday school lesson now. God, I pray that you would encourage people's hearts with it. God, we need you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Pastor.